Jenny?
I wish I could say that, but I've heard most of this coming from non-Calvinists. Although I'm sure Calvinists say something similar too. But I'm talking in our circles, non-Calvinists, you hear this stuff all the time. I'd say at least half of the funerals I've been to, they've lied about God at those funerals. Somebody will have died from some sin or some bad choice or disease. Hey man, if you die of cancer, that's not God's plan. You know why you died of cancer? Sin. Sin came upon the world. Sin entered the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see that? But the bottom line is, why is any cancer in this world today? Why is any disease in this world today? It's because of sin. And so people act like God's up there with his computer programming your life. And so that if a bird is carrying an egg and drops it from 500 feet in the air and it comes down, hits you in the head and kills you, God works in mysterious ways. No, it's just a fact that if you happen to be standing where that bird drops that egg, you're going to die. But here's where God comes in. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So God has done everything he can to save you, so that if a bird drops an egg on Stephen's head tomorrow, he can know that he's going to heaven. Amen? Jenny and I are going to get in the car tonight with no expectation of being hit head on by a drunk driver. But if we are and we die, there is no doubt in my mind or her mind, we both go to heaven. That's God's plan. Johnny?
I'd say, wanting to believe that probably also comes from all those people, probably comes from your prosperity gospel thing. Because people will say, well, because they want to take every single thing that happens to you.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen. We're talking fundamental Bible believers, Johnny. I'm talking about the people you and I hang out with. I hear this all the time. The word faith people, what they would say is that you didn't have enough faith. See? I'm talking right here, you and I, not the other guy down the road. I'm talking about right in our own churches, right in our own crowds is where I hear this all the time. And it does not say God causes all things. So again, back in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. In other words, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You want to know why you sin? It isn't God causing you to do it because he's got some plan that involves you sinning. Look in the mirror. J. Vernon McGee said this, man builds too close to a river. And when in the natural course of events, the river rises, he calls it a flood and an act of God. But man thinks it is more pleasant to build by the river, or it's nearer transportation, or that it is where the business is. It is actually the greed and avarice of man that causes him to build where it is really dangerous to build. End quote. That was one of the examples he gave of people. Where I'm from, south of where I grew up, every year there are flash floods. And every year they wash away trailers and huts and houses. And every year people lose everything. And every year people die. And you know what they do? They go back and build in the same exact place. And then when the flood comes, they're like, why are you doing this to me, God? Exactly. And on rock. It's the greed and avarice means the desire to have things, and they think it's easier, all that. So verse 14 says, confirms, But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's real hard for people to take the blame. Lust is neutral, by the way. But when directed towards sin, it's deadly. Do you know that? I want to scripture with scripture for a minute. Go over to Deuteronomy 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Right up there in the front of your book. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And Stephen's got the little cheater things on there. I've got mine stick out and protrude, but I got them too. Yeah, you look for the D-E-U-T. Yeah. You know where it's at. 12:15. This is just a strange little thing. God's talking about where He's going to pick a place for them to offer the sacrifice, is where the temple ended up being built. In verse 15 He says, "Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which He hath given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart," etc. So there's a use of the word lust, and it's not bad. Lust. Now I'm going to say something real scandalous. But if you're married, you should be lusting after your spouse. Amen. It's a good thing. And all the kids are like, gross. But it's true. Let's compare this to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I remember as a kid and I walked in the kitchen. My dad just laying a big kiss on my mom. And you know, it was weird. I didn't think gross. I just thought, that's weird. Because I just, you know, kids, you just don't think of your mom and dad kissing and being all mushy and everything like that. And I don't want to embarrass my mom. She might be watching. But every once in a while, I'd see him. That was good for me to see. I knew that that's the way you ought to. You should show your affection to your wife. And same thing true with kids. You know, nothing wrong with giving your kid a hug and a kiss. And the Bible says give each other a holy kiss, but Doug runs from me. I can't. So Proverbs 6. Let me get there myself. Proverbs 6:23-26. Look, it says here. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." Read verse 25. "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." That fellow who gets sucked in by that, he knows he shouldn't even be looking in that direction. But God's got a plan. Now, God didn't have anything to do with you going after that whore. Amen. He was drawn away of his own lust, just like we read in James. So go back to James now. You saw their lust. There's a good and a bad. And verse 15 then says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That is the process towards sin and consequences. They could have a game show. Sin and consequences. Johnny?
What was that original show called?
Truth and Consequences.
Truth and Consequences.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little play on words there.
I've heard jokes on that before.
You're welcome. So, tempted to sin. First, you're drawn away by your own lust. And, of course, we just settled that it's a lust towards something you shouldn't be lusting after. You're enticed. That means there's nothing sinful if there's a temptation before you. What the sin comes is when you invite it in and let it stay. And you start to think about it and almost meditate on it, and you're enticed. You're already gone too far. Then lust is conceived. So, I've dealt with men who have a problem with this. Good-looking women walking down the road, and if I see a good-looking woman, there's a fellow in church one time. He used to say, "When I see a pretty woman, I just say, 'Lord, you did a good job on that one.'" And then that he goes on. Well, okay, that's a good way to handle it. What the problem is when you see that good-looking woman, it goes beyond, "Oh, she's pretty. Lord, you did a good job on that one." And then you start thinking, See, you've already gone too far. You're starting, that's where the sin starts. You're drawn away by your lust, and now you're being enticed. And then lust is conceived. Sin is born, and that then causes you to act on it. That's when, you know, a guy and a gal shouldn't be messing around, end up messing around. And then that leads to death. Now, it could be the death of your marriage, but Proverbs says a lot about a jealous husband. And there have been a lot of jealous husbands and jealous wives kill people. And there sometimes it's the jealous one that's involved with the, you know, it just brings forth death.
It kills the ministry too.
How many ministries have been destroyed by that? Yeah.
Just say that, like, you see all the, you know, murder mystery shows.
Yeah.
It's they like to use that one.
Yeah. Murder. Mark.
Also reminds me of the comparison of some bad Leroy Brown. Leroy ended up looking like a jigsaw puzzle with a bunch of pieces missing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, loving God is the cure. Loving this present sinful world is the curse. If you have a love for the Lord and you're walking through your day singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, quoting Bible verses, tomorrow when you get up and start, all of a sudden, burdens are lifted at Calvary. You know, that's the way it ought to be. You're welcome. And how many times would you like to be talking about something that is, you know, good and decent, and the other person doesn't? You know, just walk away. I mean, when you're at work and somebody starts telling the dirty jokes and everything, you don't have to get all pious and sanctimonious about it. Just walk away. Where are you going? I don't. And that's when you say, "I just don't want to hear that." You'd be surprised how many times people over the years when I've pulled that, I don't try to, you know, yell at them or anything. I just walk away. "Where are you going?" "I just don't want to hear that." I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to offend you." I mean, a lot of times that's how they respond. And if they don't, then they're not the kind of person you should be hanging around with. But focus on your love of God throughout your day. You'll find so much less temptation whenever you look and see something, whether it's a woman or a car or gals, you see a man or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. Do you have your hand up?
Were you going to go to Psalms 1, 1 through 2?
No.
Good. I'm going to throw in the fire. Oh,
because
you had to think
good.
Of love.
Yeah.
So Psalm, I heard it explained kind of like this. You know, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And the teacher I had compared to kind of like David. You know, you saw her.
Yes.
So he walked over to look at her, and then just stood there.
David is a prime example of what we're talking about here.
Well, no, the second verse, though, goes exactly where you went.
Yeah.
"But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night."
That's right. And there are a number of places, but that's Psalm 1. That is just one of those that come to mind a lot.
Yeah.
Let's look at 1 John 2. First John 2, we're talking about how the love of God is kind of the cure and the love of the world is the curse. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. 1 John 2, 15 is a memory verse for a lot of people. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's people who, they're throughout the day, they're feeding on the Hollywood smut, the nasty music, the gossip, the sex talk among coworkers or friends or whatever. Just all day long, sewage going in and out. Well, read verse 16. Read that with me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And man, so much of this is in today's Christian culture. It just kills me when you see these modern music groups. And Christian contemporary, whatever. And then the pictures on their album covers and everything, they're like... You know, or they got, you know, their shirts off. You know, you don't want to see that here, but I'm just saying. You know, it's just the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Christians shouldn't be putting off that kind of an image. And then when you listen to their music, it's all shallow and everything. That explains it. Verse 17 says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. But it all comes back to you. Where's your attention? Who do you love? Do you love the Lord? Or really, the love of the world really is the love of self. We've talked about that numerous times the last few weeks. So back in James, closed up. James... Where's my little marker I lost? My cheater's gone. I folded my page. So with all that, then we come to these words in James 1:16. Read it with me. Do not err, my beloved brethren. It's so simple. It really is so simple. Don't err. What does that mean? Don't do what we just... It's all described. Don't be drawn away of your own lust. Don't allow yourself to be enticed. Don't let lust conceive in your heart and bring forth sin, because in the end, it's death. Your choices will decide your end. Your choices. A lot of times it even is not your choices just on those things, but your choice of how to respond when life isn't good to you. A lot of times that's what will bring people down. So keep your focus and you will keep your heart from going astray. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to look that up because we're running a little over. But God is the ultimate good. Keep your eyes on Him and stay the course. You can look that up on your own. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. But God is the ultimate good. Keep your eyes on Him and stay the course. And that's where we'll pick up next time in our James study. Stand if you can.
That day.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.